From the Lynn to Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 10th day of April, 2024. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with TGM's Greg Johnson, University of Illinois agricultural economist Scott Irwin. We will be here to talk about some work related to last year's corn yield that he's just completed and posted to the FarmDoc website. And we'll talk with Drew Lerner today of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, my corn for the day settled at 434 and a quarter. It was up 3 cents July at 445 and three quarters, three and a quarter higher in December futures, up to at $4.70 and a quarter. Soybeans, $11.64 and three quarters in the lead May, nine and three quarters lower. July down nine and three quarters at $11.78 and November beans at $11.69 and a quarter down 9 cents. Bean meal futures down 470, bean oil up 8 cents. Wheat futures July at 573 and a half, a penny and a half higher for the afternoon, and live cattle futures on the day finished at $2 lower, $172.85. Feeders were down 292 and a half, and the lean hogs were off $3.02. Greg Johnson from TGM, that's TotalGrainMarketing.com, out of Champaign, Illinois, now joins us. Hi, Greg. Thank you for being with us today.
You're very welcome.
Tell me a little bit about the marketplace as you see it.
Well, we've got the typical pre-report trade today, very low volume. Traders basically waiting for the monthly USDA supply and demand report tomorrow. We do have a little bit of demand for corn in the Western Corn Belt. We've seen basis levels improve anywhere from 2 to 5 cents out in Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, Kansas. And we've also seen the spreads start to narrow up a little bit. The May-July corn spread, people were afraid that as we get closer to the time that farmers have to roll their basis contracts here at the end of the month, that spread could widen out. It's been anywhere from 12 to 13 cents, and there's been fears that could widen out to 15 cents. But today it's into 11 cents. And there's, you know, with this extra demand, unexpected demand from out west, there's even some talk that maybe that could narrow into 10 cents before it eventually widens back out as we get closer to that first notice day of the roll at the end of the month. So a little bit of demand, basis levels are firmer, and spreads are a little bit narrow. So that has some traders thinking that possibly we could see a little bit of a rally, emphasis on little rally in the corn market, and that's why currently corn's up about 3 cents today, even though the beans and the wheat are not following suit. So a little bit of good news in the corn market so far today.
April, typically not a month where the market jumps very much. Anticipation, of course, coming for the United States corn crop, soybeans as well, and way too early to consider any issues in the U.S. Are there things that you're watching otherwise in South America or in the export ethanol or other consumption areas?
Yeah, the expectation is that we will see USDA lower their estimate for the Brazilian bean crop by at least 1 million metric tons tomorrow. They're still about 5 to 6 million metric tons higher than the private analysts and CONAB down in South America. So those two numbers, you'd like to think they could get a little bit closer together. So maybe if the USDA comes down a little bit and the Brazilians come up a little bit, we'll find the happy medium somewhere in between there. But if they, if USDA does lower that Brazilian number tomorrow, that would translate into possibly more exports, and that might lower the overall ending stocks number in beans. But the average trade guess is looking for basically unchanged bean numbers and maybe a little bit lower corn number, just because the March 29th stocks number was a little bit lower than what traders were looking for. So if anything, we're looking for a little bit of good news in the corn market tomorrow, and basically an unchanged report or unchanged numbers on beans. And looking back, the April report would probably confirm that. In the last 10 years, the the market reaction on the day of the April report has been very muted, very small changes, with the exception of 2022. That year, corn was up 11 cents the day of the report, and beans were up 43 cents. Other than that, it's been single digits, 2 to 3 cents in corn and 5 to 7 cents one way or the other in beans, half the time higher, half the time lower. So not looking for any fireworks tomorrow out of the report, but maybe slightly friendly type numbers in the corn.
Your feel from the client list that they're satisfied, well, not satisfied, but they're willing to wait out April, May, and possibly into June to make old crop corn sales?
Yes. We had this same conversation at the end of February when farmers had their basis contracts that were following the March, and they had to make that decision whether they were going to price that out or roll it to the May. Well, I went back and looked, and for the ones that rolled it, May corn has gone up 7 cents since that last day of February. So even if you had to pay a 2 cent roll fee, the futures picked up 7 cents. So the farmer's 5 cents better off having rolled. Now, that's not very much, especially when you consider interest and everything else, but at least it didn't lose them money. And I think the farmers are in that same frame of mind right now, that they're going to roll those basis contracts from May to July and hope to get a little bit of a rally. And, you know, 5 to 10 cents isn't a big rally, but I guess every 5 to 10 cents helps out a little bit. So I think that's the farmer attitude right now, is to roll it one more time, hope for some kind of a weather-related event, whether it's, you know, a wet spring and planting delays, which almost never happens, or then the typical forecast of hot and dry weather sometime during the summer to try to get some kind of a rally in this corn market.
Has the industry been buying new crop supplies at its normal pace this year, or is it lagging behind as well?
It's definitely lagging behind. If farmers are holding on to 50% of the old crop corn, you can imagine that they haven't sold very much new crop corn. And I think that's the case. I think we're probably only 10 to 15% sold on new crop corn, farmers around here. And that's definitely behind the norm. If and when we do get this rally, it's probably going to be time to sell both old crop and new crop at the same time.
Anything else for the day?
We had U.S. March CPI numbers come out today. Trade was looking for a little bit of an increase in inflation from 3.2% to 3.4. It actually came in at 3.5. So that's higher than what the trade was expecting. The stock market is taking a hit, and probably more important for commodities, the Fed probably has a little bit more ammunition now not to lower interest rates three times the rest of the year. It might only be one or two times. So that's not good for commodity prices, the higher inflation, higher interest rates. We really need to see inflation come down, and you need to see cost of transportation come down to have the commodities have any hope for a sustained rally.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson. He is with TGM. That's TotalGrainMarketing.com. University of Illinois agricultural economist Scott Irwin has penned an article for the Farm Doc Daily website. You can find it at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. It's called, Should We Have Been Surprised by the U.S. Average Yield of Corn in 2023? I asked him why.
Well, the background, Todd, is that as soon as harvest started rolling last fall, there was kind of a meme that developed that, oh my goodness, yields were so much better than we expected based on the weather that we experienced last spring and summer. So that's the motivation, was to simply ask, okay, should we have been surprised by corn yields last fall given the weather during the growing season? And that's the motivation.
You write in the article, in the first paragraph, from a purely historical perspective, the 2023 corn yield was not an outlier. Why is that the case?
In the sense that, you know, it's really close to the average of the last 7 years. It's just a little bit higher, even though it's a record, it's not that much higher. So it's, think of it this way, it's not out of the range of our recent experience.
Given that, a historical record and the feel for the growing season are two different kinds of things, and you do focus on the feel of the season, wondering whether or not last year's harvested yield for corn should have been a surprise to producers based on crop and weather models and other kinds of things. Can you tell me about the analysis that you did?
I started off by reviewing the weather that we experienced. And again, I'm looking at it from a Corn Belt wide lens. So I'm taking the 10 biggest producing Corn Belt states and I look at acre weighted weather variables. So that's really important. I'm taking, you know, a basically national lens to this question, not counties or regions or even states. So if you look at the data, the weather data that way, a clear picture emerges where the Corn Belt as a whole was quite dry and somewhat warmer than normal in the spring and on through June. And we saw here locally in Champaign County that the corn and soybeans looked pretty rough in, say, mid to late June going through that dry stretch. But then we had a sudden change in the weather towards much more seasonal conditions, beneficial conditions, in particular, near normal July precipitation and a cool July, and then a pretty much normal August. And that's the weather, the way it laid, that it rolled out, again, looking at it from that lens of the entire Corn Belt. There's obviously massive differences by local areas. So that was step one. And then step two was to ask, okay, if you just looked at the evolution of the weather, and particularly that really early, dry, droughty stretch, and then the carryover of some drought conditions from a year ago and then through the winter in western areas, you could get a pretty negative impression of the nature of the 2023 growing season for corn. But there's a hitch, and that's that not all crop weather variables are created equal. That we know from past research that, in particular, a good July heals or offsets a lot of bad weather that can precede July. And that's pretty much the story of what happened in 2023.
You write in the article that there are just a few items that make a difference in July. What are they?
Well, in July, it is July precipitation, you know, how much rainfall we get on average in the Corn Belt. And we typically like to see at least 4 inches of rainfall, and July temperature. Basically, the cooler, the better. And those are the key for July, and then we like to see a carryover of those conditions into August, particularly during grain filling season.
So once you did all of the analysis, what did it show?
Basically, it showed once you properly account for the difference in yield impact from these different, the weather in different periods of the growing season, that there was pretty much nothing surprising about the national average yield of 177.3. That was the USDA's final estimate for the U.S. And, you know, from that perspective, it says, no, we shouldn't have been surprised by 177.3.
Anything I missed?
One thing that's an interesting extension of this analysis that I did with the model that I'm going to be looking forward to in the future is that if this model that I have is a reasonable fit to reality, it predicts a trend yield for 2024 of right at 182 bushels an acre.
That was University of Illinois agricultural economist Scott Irwin discussing an article he has posted to the FarmDoc Daily website entitled, Should We Have Been Surprised by the U.S. Average Yield of Corn in 2023? You can find it at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City now joins us to take a look at the weather forecast for the global growing regions. Hello, Drew. Thank you for being with us today. We've got a lot of area to cover. I want to start here in the Midwest. Planters have been rolling in the Delta region, but they have had some rainfall. Can you tell me what conditions are like today?
Yeah, you know, prior to yesterday, the Delta was moving along at a real quick clip and getting a lot of field work done, and early season crop emergence and development was already occurring in some spots. Really nice situation, but last night it started raining, and it's been raining like cats and dogs since then. And we have seen between no less than 2 inches, and between 2 and 6 inches has been fairly common across the heart of the Delta. And it was still raining last I looked, and some strong to severe thunderstorms still yet to come today. So they'll probably see another inch to two before it's over. And I did hear one report out of Arkansas about flooding occurring in fields there. And I'm sure that's just the tip of the iceberg, so to speak. I think there's the Arkansas would have been on the northwestern fringe of the heavier rain. So I'm sure there's some issues out there at this point. Some of that storm system will be working its way through the eastern and lower parts of the Midwest as we go forward through the next 24 to 48 hours. And we're not going to see nearly the rain in those areas. But if you recall, it was just a week or so ago, we had flooding occurring across parts of Ohio and Indiana and even all the way over into Wisconsin and parts of eastern Iowa. Now, a lot of that's over. Some of it's still continuing. But this rain event will aggravate that situation a little bit. So there may be a little more delay in field work for Indiana and Ohio, at least.
Come back to the Midwest. I do want to work my way clockwise across the growing regions in North America. The hard red winter crop in Kansas, Oklahoma. Your opinion still in good shape?
Yes and no. We're probably going to be seeing a bit of a decline in conditions in unirrigated western Kansas and Colorado locations because of a heat wave that's coming up here starting Friday and going through Monday. And during that time period, we're going to be seeing 80 and 90 degree temperatures. It will include Texas and Oklahoma. But last night, we saw a nice little rain event for the panhandle of Texas into Oklahoma. Quite a few areas picking up on half to 2 inches of rain. There were several counties in the heart of the Texas panhandle that had 2 to 3.6 inches or so. And so a nice little event down that way. And it had been a little on the dry side in some of that region, but no rain in western Kansas from this system and no rain in Colorado. And we are going to see 80 and literally getting into the 90s in parts of Kansas and Oklahoma as we get into this coming weekend. And that is going to remove more moisture from some areas and stress the crop and others. Some livestock stress will likely occur too. We're going to have some strong winds that are going to blow with that heat. So that's a concern, I guess, for certainly a portion of the Central Plains. And I don't see a lot of rain even after the heat wave breaks down. I think the eastern parts of Kansas and eastern Oklahoma will have a chance for some additional moisture over the coming week to 10 days. But I don't think the West Central Plains are going to see a lot of moisture for a while. So that will become a bigger issue, I think, as we move forward in time.
In Canada, the prairies there, what do the spring numbers look like for them?
Yeah, you know, we had a big storm in the eastern part of the prairies way back in early March. And that was really the only significant storm system that impacted that part of the prairies in weeks prior to that. And it's been relatively quiet since then, but apparently there is some kind of a 45-day cycle here that's playing out because we are seeing another storm very similar to the one that occurred in early March getting ready to debut across the very same areas as we go forward through the end of this week and into early next week. And this will be a very healthy rain and snow producing event for Manitoba and eastern Saskatchewan. Now, farther to the west in Alberta, they keep getting some smaller systems to come and go, and we're actually seeing some improvement in the moisture profile there. If you recall, southern and east central parts of Alberta and west central through south central parts of Saskatchewan have been dealing with a long-term drought, and it's been really too dry in those areas. And they continue to miss some of this precipitation. We've had a little bit of that region get some relief, but those areas are still chronically dry. It is the start of the planting season coming up here as we move forward through this month. And there's a definite need for more moisture in that area. But the storm in the eastern prairies will be great. And that which has occurred in other parts of Alberta recently has them looking pretty good too. So I think the prairies are on a road to recovery. But patience is going to be necessary for those areas that have been missed by these recent rains, because I don't think they're going to do real well until we get into the heart of the, at least until June, let's say, late May.
Will those storms track into the Midwest?
Those will not. The northern plains and the upper Midwest will be involved to some degree. The Midwest will be getting most of their energy from systems that come out of the southern plains and the Delta into the lower eastern Midwest. So the places like Iowa, Nebraska, Kansas, Missouri, those areas will get some precipitation once in a while, but they're not going to get the kind of rain that you're used to seeing in the spring. So it'll be good for planting, but there will be in the back of most producers' minds a little concern about where we're going when we get into some of this heat.
A little short update then in two other areas, the wheat crop in Russia, Ukraine, Black Sea area, and then South America.
In Russia and Ukraine, we have been drying down since mid-February. Now, it's been cool, so that hasn't been a big issue, and they had good moisture in the soil. But the crop is greened up, and we are actually planting some spring cereals now across some of these areas. And the ground is firming still. We're still waiting for a decent rain event to occur. There is a ridge of high pressure that moved across some of this region in the past couple of days, and it's likely to intensify and become more of a persistent feature for at least a week to maybe as much as 10 days. So accelerated drying will occur because of limited rain and warmer temperatures. For the South America situation, there really hasn't been a lot of change there. I think for the most part, South America is still status quo. Argentina is looking at a good mix of weather. They do have a bigger rain event coming up this weekend that will delay some early season harvest progress. And then, of course, southwestern Brazil, Mato Grosso do Sul, Paraná, and neighboring Paraguay are still waiting for a good solid soaking. Now, Paraguay got a little bit wetter this week, but Paraná and parts of Mato Grosso do Sul are still waiting for a decent rain, and they may get it as we go forward to this weekend and into next week.
Hey, thank you much.
Have a great day.
You too. That's Drew Lerner. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org, willag.org. Just click and play our agricultural programming from the website or look us up in your favorite podcast applications, places like Apple and Spotify, and even YouTube under the Farm Doc YouTube website. The theme music for the Closing Market Report is written, performed, and produced by Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Thank you.